Today, NASA officials met with the press today, and while they were able to give few answers about what happened to the shuttle Columbia, they were able to express their sorrow and to say what they knew. The Columbia broke apart 200,000 feet above the Earth this morning. Debris is scattered over a wide area, and officials have warned against touching any of it because it could be hazardous.
The first indications of a potential problem occurred minutes before 8 o'clock Central Standard Time.
That's Ron Ditmore, the shuttle program manager. He spoke at a news conference in Houston. He said that Mission Control lost readings from sensors in the shuttle's hydraulic sensors in the left wing.
They were followed seconds and minutes later by several other problems, including loss of tire pressure indications on the left main gear, and then indications of excessive structural heating.
But for the most part, this is not a day for answers. It is a day for sorrow. President Bush addressed the nation in the early afternoon, expressing the country's condolences and praising the astronauts who lost their lives.
These astronauts knew the dangers, and they faced them willingly, knowing they had a high and noble purpose in life. Because of their courage and daring and idealism, we will miss them all the more.
The five men and two women on the shuttle Columbia were leaders in their fields. They trained years for a dangerous mission that lasted only days. NPR's Jennifer Ludden has this profile of the Columbia crew.
This was a first space flight for 41-year-old pilot William McCool. The Navy commander from Lubbock, Texas, was second in his class at the Naval Academy. He became an astronaut in 1996, but when he spoke to NPR's Tavis Smiley just a few days ago, it was clear that years of training had not diminished the sheer thrill of it all.
There is so much more than what I ever expected. It's beyond imagination until you actually get up and see it and experience it and feel it.
McCool was a sports enthusiast, and he said there was an exercycle on the shuttle. It was clear that years of training had not diminished the sheer thrill of it all.
There is so much more than what I ever expected. It's beyond imagination until you actually get up and see it and experience it and feel it.
McCool was a sports enthusiast, and he said there was an exercycle on the shuttle.
It's a little time each day pedaling around, and I tell you, there's nothing better than listening to a good album and looking out the windows and watching the world go by while you pedal on the bike.
43-year-old Michael Anderson was the payload commander and a lieutenant colonel. He oversaw the science experiments on the shuttle. Anderson grew up in Spokane, Washington, where his father was in the Air Force. A family friend says Anderson would often go with his father to the base and sit in the planes, and so got the bug early to fly. When Anderson found out he was on the Columbia flight, he called up the Baptist reverend who'd married him and asked him for something to take into space. Anderson often returned to Spokane to speak to students at his alma mater. He was one of only seven active black astronauts. Speaking to NPR's Tavis Smiley, he said he saw a bright future for black Americans in the profession.
And not only that, we also have some research that I think will be really beneficial to the African American community. On board this flight, we have a bioreactor, which is growing prostate cancer cells. And prostate cancer is a high rate of occurrence in African American males. And hopefully from some of the research we're doing up here, we can really help out in those areas.
David Brown brought a medical degree and a touch of whimsy to his profession as an astronaut. He was a varsity gymnast in college and for a time performed with a circus, riding a 7-foot unicycle. Dr. Evan Farmer, dean of Eastern Virginia Medical College, met Brown at his 20th reunion there last August and says he was struck by Brown's warmth.
That just came across. You felt immediately comfortable talking with him and interacting with him, and very unassuming. I mean, you wouldn't have picked him out in the room as being an astronaut and somebody who's going to do all of these incredible things. And the second thing, it's sort of he was just very, very passionate about what he was doing, but it was a quiet passion. You know, he wasn't shouting from the top of the ceiling or anything like that. Clearly passionate, but just a very quiet, calm, the kind of person you'd want in a crisis.
Laurel Clark had long worked in risky environments. Before becoming an astronaut, she was a diving medical officer and carried out evacuations from submarines. Clark then took her skills from underseas to the air, becoming a naval flight surgeon, and finally venturing into space. The other woman on board the Columbia immigrated to the U.S. from India in the 1980s. Kalpana Chawla had flown before in 1997. She was the flight engineer on this mission.
one day I was in the flight deck looking from the overhead windows outside, and I could then see my reflection in the window, and in the retina of my eye, the whole earth and the sky could be seen reflected. So I called all the crew members one by one, and they saw it, and everybody said, "Oh, wow."
Rick Husband commanded the Columbia shuttle. An Air Force colonel from Amarillo, Texas, it was his childhood dream to be an astronaut. He was picked in 1994 on his fourth try. Before this trip, he had logged more than 230 hours in space. Finally, Ilan Ramon was the first Israeli astronaut, and his mission made an entire nation proud. Though not a strictly observant Jew, Ramon made a point of taking a copy of the Torah into space and eating kosher. Other crew members spoke of learning more about Judaism from him. NASA Administrator Sean O'Keefe praised all the crew members at a somber news conference this afternoon.
They dedicated their lives to pushing the scientific challenges for all of us here on Earth. And they dedicated themselves to that objective and did it with a happy heart, willingly, and with great enthusiasm.
The men and women on board the Columbia were well aware of the dangers they faced. In interviews before the mission, many spoke of how they and their families had come to terms with the risk, of how they didn't want to let it get in the way of achieving their lifelong ambitions. Earlier this week, Commander Rick Husband sent this message from aboard the orbiting shuttle.
It is today that we remember and honor the crews of Apollo 1 and Challenger. They made the ultimate sacrifice, giving their lives in service to their country and for all mankind. Their dedication and devotion to the exploration of space was an inspiration to each of us and still motivates people around the world to achieve great things in service to others.
The Columbia crew then observed a moment of silence for their colleagues. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Washington.